Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Red Circle, and the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, turn the notifications on. Plenty of Dolphins content on there, although you may be avoiding it right now. Also, check out Off the Floor. You can find the description right here, or the link right here in the description on YouTube, on the podcast feeds, and always at the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. We've got 9 different channels there for $2.99 per month. Yes, you do need to pay a monthly fee. Trust me, once you're on there, you will never leave. So check it out, Off the Floor. This is where you can communicate with us, communicate with other Heat fans, and you get a ton of content that you don't get anywhere else without the clutter of Twitter. So check out Off the Floor. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. It includes our friends over at Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN, you get $20 to play, and you'll want to play there a lot as well, because we've got $10 NFL contests every single week, $3 NBA contests daily, and more contests as we go forward. This is legal sports betting. You can do it in the state of Florida as much as you want. BetterEdge.com. Use the code 5RSN. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, rain bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. And I've got Eternal Bass. You can follow him at Mr. Objective, apparently, according to what he's put here on YouTube. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do a transaction podcast. It's funny. Matt Moore, HP Basketball, wrote, it's officially trade season. I didn't know that that began today. I wasn't aware that this was a holiday. But we know that you guys want to talk about this stuff, and we've stayed away from it for a little while. But honestly, there's not a whole lot to talk about between these two Charlotte games. I mean, they're 13-10. I'll give the Heat credit for this. They escaped. The Dolphins did not, so you'll take it. They got out of Charlotte with a win. No LaMelo Ball, but of course still no Bam. No update there, by the way. No Highsmith. No update there, by the way. No Tyler Hero. As of tomorrow, or perhaps by today, by the time you're listening to this, Tyler Hero will have been out 5 weeks. 5 weeks from the injury. This was supposed to be a 2 to 4 week situation, so there really haven't been any updates there. So we're going to take a look, though, at something specific. This actually appeared originally in Barry Jackson's column. We, of course, recommend that you follow FLA Sports Buzz. They like their team except reality. Except he was looking for possibilities to add to the team. And, Greg, I'm going to start with you because we've talked a lot about this Kyle Lowry contract situation. And you've been adamant about how they need to use it for something. Like, they have this vehicle to improve the team this year. You're in the Jimmy window, even if this has not been Jimmy's best overall season so far. Eventually, you're going to get Bam and Tyler back. If you can use, Lowry's contract to upgrade at the point guard position and perhaps add another piece, maybe it's worth adding a pick. Barry made another case, though, in his column, which was – that it may make some sense, not just this is about being cheap, but more so about having vehicles to use later on. It may make more sense to hold on to Lowry's contract as this kind of quote unquote get out of jail free card and not trade it right now, but let it run out through the end of the season. Are you convinced in any way that this makes sense? And then I guess the second part of this that we'll get into today is the other player I think that's interesting watching with the Heat is Caleb Martin, because we know his contract's up at the end of the season, but he's on a steady trajectory up lately in the way that he's been playing since he came back from injury. And right now, at the moment, at least, they seem to need him, although maybe when they're a little bit more whole, they might not need him as much. So I'll start with that first question. Have you changed your mind at all about using the Lowry contract?
That's a good question, because I have been probably the loudest of anyone that a $29.7 million expiring contract with a few first round draft picks. I just watched what the Lakers did when they transformed the pieces around AD and LeBron. And that's kind of what I've been, that's what I've envisioned when I've talked about putting the pieces together. I'll maintain this team didn't really need a superstar. Like, we went after Dame, et cetera, but I really think they need the Posey, Antoine Walker, Jay Will type trade more than they need the third star or whatever we want to talk about, if you don't consider Tyler that. I'm torn here, and this is why. Next year, they project to be $12.5 million. This is per SpoTrack. $12.5 million away from the luxury tax, but $28 million away from the super tax. So $28 million, if that's how far away they are, I think that they're going to be willing to be luxury taxpayers. They're just not going to touch that second apron, right? So you've got $28 million right now with 10 players committed. So to
You're saying
me,
with Kyle off the books? Sorry to interrupt.
With Kyle off the books, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So that would be renouncing Kyle Lowry's $44 million cap hold, et cetera, or letting him go elsewhere, do what you want to do. And you wouldn't gain that in cap space, but you're staying away from the second apron. So as I think about it in those terms, unless you can go out and get a real difference maker, like I'm gonna kind of talk outside out of both sides of my mouth. You need like a young player that can bridge the gap between both builds. It can't just be an older veteran player. It can't be a guy that's just too young. He's not ready to contribute late in the playoffs. So you need the right situation, because otherwise I look at it and I'm like, they're kind of maintaining this season. They're only four games out of the top seed, so they're staying in the mix. Yay, parity. They could have the ability to not only retain Caleb Martin this summer, but also spend their full mid-level exception on a guard to try to help and bolster that position. And they'd still be well away from the $28 million that gets you close to the apron. So unless you're telling me they're getting Cade Cunningham or, you know, like a name like that, where it's like, whoa, and he may be a little young for this particular build, although I wouldn't say no. I don't see Bojan Bogdanovic, for instance, being the guy that you sacrifice that chance for. I just don't think that he's that good. And so others may disagree. We'll see what trade names pop up, because that's what's dictating this. I don't see a lot of great names on the market.
All right, I'm going to wait on the Caleb part a little bit here, although these things are somewhat intertwined, as you mentioned, Greg, because holding on to the Lowry contract may allow you until the end of the year, may allow you to re-sign Caleb. So we do need to get into how important that is. But Alex, I'll go to you on this part of it. You know, we've talked about some names at the point guard position, okay? And I can't make an argument that Kyle Lowry at this stage is a championship starting point guard. I mean, he was. He's not. He's given you some decent moments this season. He's been way overworked, in my view. This was not their plan. A lot of this is injury related. Even Drew Smith was supposed to provide some relief there. RJ Hampton apparently is not ready to do so, at least in Spo's eyes. You had a game last night in Charlotte where both Josh and Kyle, I think, had one of them had 5 rebounds, 5 assists. The other had 4 rebounds, 4 assists. So they did other things, but they were like a combined 1 of 13 from the field. And there's been games like that. In that context, some of the names we've talked about, a Tyus Jones, for instance, is that a good enough player that fulfills what Greg is talking about, which is player who can help you now but be part of the build going forward? And is there a name out there at that position in particular that it makes sense to kind of go all in with the Kyle contract now?
It's really tough, and I think we talked about something similar to this last week, and I think I had a take where it's basically just like, you know, because I was really one of the people who was kind of all in for a trade, especially earlier this season, because I felt like I wasn't sure how the depth was going to work itself out with a consistent rotation, and I feel like a lot of those qualms have been eased for me. Not that the team is perfect and can't use an upgrade, not, you know, by any means, but I think because of, like, the way that it's worked itself out, I'm looking less forward to what a trade could look like. And what I end up thinking about is just, like Leif is talking about, what is worth it for them to move off of not only a first-round pick and whatever else it might take to grab one of these guys, whether it's Tyus or somebody else, but to get rid of an asset and, as whoever was talking to Barry Jackson put it, their get-out-of-jail-free card and Kyle Lowry, like that $30 million coming off the books, it ends up like and just doing like kind of playing it through in my head of how all of this is going to work out. And, you know, it feels like that's just going to end up being the move. And I know nobody wants to hear that, because a $30 million expiring is very useful if you're trying to land, you know, a lot of different players. Maybe you could land a package of players, right? Like Leif was talking about, where they moved Russ in the first and they got whatever it was, three guys, I believe it was. And I've been a fan of a move like that for a while, but now I'm looking at, like, they already have a full 10-man rotation when their team is healthy. Other guys who are outside, you know, just outside of it, that you're, like, okay with playing when others are hurt. And it's like, what is the right one out there? I don't know that the Tyus Jones is the right one out there. He's a good player, and he fulfills what you're talking about with, like, playing along both timelines, because he can help you right now. And, you know, he's still young enough where – you know, he's 27. He turns 28 in May. So he's still kind of, you know, just right in the prime of his career. I think is somebody who would probably fill in like the Gabe plus type of role. Maybe not even plus. I think it would kind of be a similar role to what Gabe was doing. So, like, it's not somebody who is, I don't know, like, there's no, like, all-star fit available for you, right? Like, you already, you know, missed out on that in the summer. And so if you're talking about a guy like that, like, Tyus Jones is a good player. Alex Caruso, who it keeps being repeated now that he's not actually available anymore, is a good player. Are these guys worth it enough for the Heat to give up on the get out of jail free they have with Kyle Lowry's $30 million coming off the books and a pick? I just don't see any of these trades that have been thrown around, whether, you know, by Bleacher Report or by fans in our Discord, which everybody should go check out, link in description, of course. But like, none of these I'm looking at, I'm like, okay, yeah, the Heat are going to do this one. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Heat would really like this one. So it's like nothing against those players, but I don't see the right mix. A lot of these guys are not making anywhere near the money that Kyle is either. So it's like, Right. Who's going to send all those players to Miami? And why are the Heat going to send all this stuff, like, if it's not somebody who is a major upgrade?
Yeah, Eternal, that's where I want to go with this, because there are players that have been talked about as potentially available. Chicago has a couple of them, LaVine, DeRozan, but they don't play the position that the Heat seem to need the most help at, right? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. We talk about DeRozan. Okay, would it be worth doing it for a guy like DeRozan? But I think we all sort of agree he's a terrible fit as a basketball player with what they currently have, right? I mean, he's not, right. Certainly not ideal. Spencer Dinwiddie, I mean, some of these names we're talking about, they're kind of like somewhere between 20th and, you know, 15th and 25th in terms of point guards in the league. Mm-hmm. Even if you want to say Kyle's 29th now, I don't know if it makes sense. It almost feels like Heat fans just sort of wanting a transaction at this stage.
Well, I think as you kind of explore and look around the league and you kind of gauge what makes sense, not only for the present, but also going forward. The Heat have a unique situation which they have to account for, which is they are vying for a championship. They are wanting to get back to the finals, compete again, and you know, kind of close the door on that chapter. But they also have this very unique situation where Jimmy is not 28. Like, I think all of this within reason would be different if Jimmy was 28, 29, 30. Because he's 34 and his running mates are 26 and 23, it throws everything off. That makes a lot of that very, very complicated. So I think when it comes to the Kyle Lowry thing, you mentioned Spencer. I think Spencer does make sense. Now, obviously, earlier in the season, when it came to the way Kyle was playing, it was serviceable. Right now, you're not getting that same type of production. Well, he's still playing a heavy amount of minutes. Spencer, I think, is a nice, you know, just keeping you afloat. He may raise the floor a little bit, but if you're looking at that deal, it's Kyle for maybe Spencer, maybe throw in a Caleb or, you know, whatever for Dorian Finley-Smith, which both of those are contracts. I think Spencer for sure is coming off the books. So it may not be the 39 grade, but, you know, Spencer is still coming off the books, and there are things that you know, that he still can do. And to Alex's point, and I'll stop talking, trying to be efficient with the ball here. To Alex's point, yes, the team does have depth, but I do think they could do addition by subtraction. Like, you know, obviously Haywood is out right now, but Haywood would be playing major minutes if he was healthy, which is giving Caleb a chance to shine. But, you know, trying to manage that, you know, when guys get back, it's going to be difficult. So I do think a move still needs to be made with Kyle's contract.
Well, what we want to talk about after the break here is Caleb, because I do think that this plays into it. So I'm glad Eternal kind of teed us up with it. Before we do, I want to mention our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida. You can find them at WCUFL.com, your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. They do the preventative work. They can also do the work after the fact. They do recommend you get in their preventative program because we know the insurance companies don't always take care of everything. More than 75-star reviews on Google. More than 75-star reviews on Google. Again, they do the preventative, the leak detection, the damage assessment, and they're just really honest people. If they can't get the job done, they will tell you. They're based in Boca Raton, but they service the entire area. Reach out to them at 561-408-7835. Again, that's 561-408-7835. Also tell Michael to make a favorable trade with Greg and I in our fantasy basketball league. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the goods.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weighted handle. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German engineered blades made in their own factory. So they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Oh, look at that. All right. You almost missed your cue there. I want to go with what Eternal was talking about before the break, though, because so much of this is based on the future, right? Like, you're trying – there's this balance, and I think we've hit on it. If Jimmy was 28, things might look different, but also – you know, there's Heat fans are like, well, Jimmy's 34. Get this done now. You know, while he can still be effective and can still be a number one or a co-number one. But the organization wants to be set up for the long term. I mean, they're already doing some estate planning, so to speak, on the front office side with, you know, Andy Ellisberg's promotion, others who may move up at some point, you know, whenever it is that Pat ultimately leaves. And, you know, they're trying to plan for a future that at the moment looks like, and the way they describe it, is more of a Bam Hero Hakez type future. And we'll see if Jovic can fit into that. But Caleb's an interesting piece because, like, Caleb can help them this year. Like, you've seen that. Like, and again, some of it is because Tyler's out and Highsmith's out. So Caleb's had the reps to work his way back into it. But we are seeing all the things again that we saw towards the end of last year, which is, you know, he's an athlete. They don't have a ton of those. He moves differently than some of their other players. He kind of glides. He has a variety of moves around the basket now. He's starting to attack the closeouts now. I don't think he's defended at the level this year that he did last year, but you know that it's in him. He can help them win immediately. And you may need to part with him to make a move, Greg, if you're going to try to do something now. And there is a case to be made to move him if you don't plan to keep him. And there's a case to be made not to keep him if you're going to re-sign Highsmith to a three-year contract and you want to give Hakez an even bigger role and Jimmy's back next year. And maybe you even bring Josh or somebody else back. And it's like, okay, how many wings do you need? Do you stop the wing stop, is to quote Alex's phrase there. So, I mean, Greg, I'll go to you on this. Like, how much of a priority should signing Caleb Martin be in decisions that are made prior to the trade deadline, whether it's with Lowry or with Caleb specifically?
I don't think they should get in the way much, because Eternal hit on something, and he's mentioning the get out of jail free card. That's like an extra get out of jail free card. It's flipping Kyle for a better player that's also expiring. And if you take on more than that, it is what it is, and you hopefully balance out below the second apron. I personally think that they should try to keep Caleb, because I think in this NBA, as you saw with Haywood Highsmith recently, the shooting can go up and down. You can't have enough good wings that can play defense and that are athletic. And the more I talk to people around Charlotte, and I was just there, I literally just got home. The organization wants him around. So, like, take that for what it is. So I would understand if he gets a 1-year offer like Bruce Brown did from Indy, coming off Denver's finals run, or if he got a really lengthy contract like Max did coming off of a finals run. So if Caleb leaves Miami, it's going to be because we ended this year really feeling great about the way that the season went and the way that the playoffs went, because that's where he will get paid. I think at his current pace right now, he's maybe a mid-level exception player, particularly with the more punitive rules. I think teams are going to be maybe a smidge more guarded in how they spend. And so if he's that, I think you can retain him and still make a move. And so that's where I just don't want them to become complacent, because I think Kyle, you could turn him into two pieces. Like, if maybe you would like Dorian Finney-Smith long-term anyway, and you get Dinwiddie, who's expiring, maybe that gives you just enough room to maybe not make another addition next summer, but you at least keep Caleb Martin. So there's avenues, but I think the fans in general, they want to go after a big fish, a whale, as we've called them. And that's where I just think, until we get to that conversation, then we're going to have a Tyler Hero conversation, and it becomes an even bigger podcast.
I want to go to Eternal because I know you have very specific views on the Caleb thing, and then we're going to allow Alex to kind of clean up here at the end. tell me if I'm right tell me if I'm right or I'm wrong here, Eternal, because you don't have anything against Caleb Martin. We discussed this on Playback. You think he's a good player. But you've talked about the concerns about the knee situation, which, again, none of us are evaluating him directly, but it's a little bit problematic based on what that diagnosis can mean in terms of it flaring up again or becoming a consistent issue. And obviously we know that the contract is something to be concerned about, but I feel like your view on this is just that they have a lot at that spot, right? Where do you come down on what you would do with Caleb now?
So here's the thing, right? Like if Caleb in particular did not have the knee issue, if Caleb also was like 26 or something like that, then I would say, hey, you would be a fool not to re-sign him, right? But because of that knee issue, because like you said, you mentioned that defense is not looking as sharp as it was. I mean, there have been some plays, this season where Caleb hasn't looked the same physically. Now, obviously, he's still recovering and playing himself back into it, but that completely changes the way a guy plays. And so I just haven't really seen a lot that's been encouraging. And as far as, how far a guy can rise considering his age, I don't know. But, I just think, going forward, you have so many guys in a position room that I would just rather give them a try than to keep that.
Alex, my view on this is if you have good players, you try to keep good players. Like that's the thing. Like you can never have enough of them, particularly if they've done what he did on a big, big stage. I know you've talked about that with Gabe and others. Caleb did it at a higher level. No, I know, but Caleb did it at a higher level than Gabe. So go on this.
Can anyone name a point guard that we're trading Caleb in a deal for as we go here, too? Like, I want a name at least. Can we end the show by saying, like, what would you do it for? DeJounte Murray?
Let's get into this. I was looking up the math actually on what a term brought up earlier with the Nets trade, and it's one that it's been brought up forever, and I think it's kind of the line right now because I think that's, like, the one that I look at, and it's like, that one is one that I could see the Heat throwing in a first for. But even then, I don't know. Like, okay, so, doing the math, right?
You're talking about Dinwiddie
and Dorian Finney-Smith for Kyle and Caleb. So that particular framework would leave the Heat a little bit further away from the second apron, which is a good thing. Like Eternal mentioned before, Dinwiddie is a $20 million expiring contract as opposed to Kyle's nearly 30. Not only that, to Lay's point earlier from as far as like making another acquisition, in this case, the other acquisition, kind of would be Dorian in a way because you have him locked down for, it says here, 3 seasons. I think that's including this one. So you would have him locked down for 2 more seasons after this one. So that's kind of like you have that part locked down. The part that I don't know is it worth it for the Heat to give up a first plus maybe Jovic or something like that if that's what the Nets are asking for. I think that trade is kind of the perfect line. Not that, that we know that the Heat are interested in this or anything like that, but that's like the most realistic one that I could see happening. But either way, like Dorian Finney-Smith is a great player and Dinwiddie too, like is a good player. I'm not against either of them being on the Heat. I like the trade. I'm a proponent of keeping Caleb, not only because of what you said, Ethan, which you've talked about plenty of times, like keeping good players, right? And keeping guys who step up on the biggest stages and guys who show you that they have that mentality and they're not going to wither in the moment. All that is cool. Not only that, I think specifically his skill set is something that is sorely lacking. And I'm not like, I'm not there that they have guys. I mean, look, Hawkins has been great, right? Yeah. No disrespect to him. It's not what I'm talking about. But I still feel like getting to the rim is very valuable for this team who still ranks low in both finishing percentage and, shots at the rim. And I think Caleb's like, you just look at sheer rim percentage, it's been down a little bit this year, but when you watch him play, I think it's just gotten a lot better since the beginning of the season. Obviously he missed a lot of time there, but since the beginning of when he came back, I think like the finishing has kind of gone back to what it was. I don't think he has great lifts on the shot. I think the shot has been pretty flat overall. Like that's the one thing that's kind of stood out to me more with him that hasn't really, I think, gone away. He's always had a weird shot, right? So it's hard to judge a little bit, like with the hitch and all that. But I think in general, and then even with that, he's still shooting 34% from three. It's funny. He's never really had like a real shooting slump. Now I say that and it's going to happen, of course. But like the thing with Caleb is he's been so stable, man. And I think like the green flags with the finishing and the way that he's kind of getting back to those creative finishes in traffic and over other guys, like I think he's still got all that. And then when you look at the numbers, right, looking at the amount of shots he gets at the rim per 75 possessions, I mentioned this on last night's podcast to an extent, but like he's taken a career high shots at the rim per 75 this season for the Heat, and it's a pretty big gap between this year and last year, and a decent gap between this year and two seasons before that when he was coming off the bench all season, which is what I mentioned on the pod, that, you know, we all know that he gets to play his game more when he's coming off of the bench. And that's kind of been, I feel like, where he really shows off. And it's just not only that, by the way, that number, the 6.6 attempts per 75 that he's getting up at the rim, it's a higher number than Jimmy. I mean, I'm sorry, than Hawkes. And it's right there with Jimmy. And I just think like, all of these guys, except Hawkes, so like Jimmy and Caleb's finishing haven't been great, but Jimmy, Hawkes, Caleb get to the rim more than anybody on this team outside of like, you know, Bam and the stuff that he does at the rim. And so those guys, to me, obviously to different extent, I feel like I value what they do a little bit more because they need that rim pressure so bad. And I think Caleb is still young enough where I don't have qualms with like signing him to a 3-year deal or something, maybe even a 4-year deal. He's 28. Doesn't turn 29 until next September. So I feel like that's the type of guy that it's kind of right there in the sweet spot where he helps you contribute right now, has shown it at the highest levels. You need the skill set, even though obviously you have other guys in the wing room now. And I just think it kind of balances everything there. And I honestly think the type of season he's having right now where he doesn't stand out quite as much as he did because, you know, Hawkes is standing out. Duncan is doing his thing. Highsmith is doing his thing when he's healthy. I think that's going to be more convenient for the Heat and being able to retain him along with a guy like Highsmith this summer. Especially if you're letting Kyle walk. That's how this all connects, by the way. If they let Kyle walk and get that expiring just off the books, they could just straight up re-sign Caleb, re-sign Josh, re-sign Highsmith, unless I'm wrong there. I'm not a cap expert by any means.
No, but they could.
That's why I feel like they end up just kind of going right back to that, meaning like, you know, we like our team, except reality.
15 seconds for each of you, okay? Because I want to get you all on the record for this. If Caleb Martin is not traded and they don't re-sign him, so let's say it's a Max Strus-type situation, are you okay with that? Alex, 15 seconds.
That's an easy one. I don't need 15 seconds. No, I'm going to be upset. I'm already pre-upset if that's the move. You don't let guys walk for no reason. If you're not trading Kyle and you're getting that $30 million off the books, you better re-sign Caleb. Obviously, things can change between now and then. Like, if he has a bad injury, if he just looks like a bad player from here to then, that's a different story. But if he's playing the way he's playing and I think the finishing comes up and he looks more like Caleb, re-sign that man. He needs to have another good playoff run, all that. Re-sign that man.
Eternal.
Yes, I'd be very upset if they didn't re-sign him, but also I think they should capitalize off of him playing this well.
Greg?
Oh, I'll be real concise about this. You either – you don't get to get out of jail with Kyle Lowry's contract and then let Caleb walk and then, like, maybe spend the mid-level and, like, No. We're not going to parade around talking about culture and championships unless we spend like that's what we're trying to do. So if Kyle comes off the books, you better retain Caleb. And I think you also need to make another move of some kind that would include your full exception going to one real difference maker. And I also think that they need to make a trade. Like, there's no excuse to let guys walk. We've seen this happen now. They can't afford to do it, particularly in this economic NBA. I think you need to be even more prudent and efficient with each move. So to me, heck no, they got to do something with it. So I would be upset.
I think the most important thing right now is that they have an understanding of what Caleb's market could be. And I think that's why it matters that he's gotten these reps as he's gotten lately to kind of work his way back into shape, because I think it's been really hard to gauge here early this season. But I think there's a market for the Heat, and I think there's a market for the rest of the league for him. And I actually think, even though they have a ton of wings, I think he has more value for a team like the Heat than he would have for 15 to 20 other teams in the NBA. And it's exactly what Greg said here in the chat as we close here. And thanks to our sponsors, Better Edge and Water Cleanup of Florida. Make sure you're signing up for Off the Floor. It's that he's a Swiss Army player who can plug holes for them in a whole bunch of different ways. And he provides that rim pressure. And he's been good in the playoffs. And for a team that can never keep guys healthy, as long as he can stay healthy, which I know Eternal is one of your concerns, and it's a reasonable concern, he's the guy who kind of makes things go for them when other guys are out. If Jimmy's out, if Hawkins ultimately ends up being out, if Tyler's out, Josh is out, Caleb can fill all of these different roles. You need a utility player like that. He's like, for baseball fans, he's like the Jose Aquindo of the Heat. I'm going way back. But you need guys like that, and I'm with you. If they're going to, I'm fine with letting the Kyle thing play out now. I am, because I don't see a huge upgrade. I don't know that the Nets deal is a huge upgrade. And to me, that might be the best one that's out there potentially. But if you're gonna let it expire, you have to know what you're willing to pay Caleb, how you can still stay under the second apron when you do it, and that he's going to be amenable to taking that kind of a deal. You can't get tricked. You can't have a kind of situation where we put a value. I know they put a value on a player. I understand that, like they did with Gabe.
Can't be too rigid.
You're going to have to be willing to bend on that a little bit if you make the decision that you're going to let Kyle's contract go at the end of this year because you want to re-sign Caleb. Like, there better be an understanding with his representation, what he's willing to take, and whether or not you're willing to do that.
And you need a point guard still.
Right, and exactly. Well, that's the position you need to address. And if not, then you make the Ike Austin for Brent Barry trade and hope that the player you bring in doesn't turn out to be Brent Barry. Anyway, thanks to Greg. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to Eternal. They're going to do it with Eric Murdoch, too. They've had this situation with players they didn't think they were going to resign, but it's been a while since they've made that kind of a move. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.